Try and grow a little fuzz. I don't know. And she kept, finally I said, okay, I'll try. It came in pure white. I had no idea. So, I guess it was around, July or August of this one particular year, and I had a pretty good role. Nothing like this, but no, I kind of kept it trimmed. The guy that used to be the St. Nicholas decided that he didn't really feel like doing it anymore, and he recommended that I take his place. That was only 2 years after I started at the Farmers Museum. So I kept growing it. And the costume fit. And I started studying about St. Nicholas. And I still study to this day. This will be the 16th year that I will be St. Nicholas at the Farmers Museum. Now the next year, I'm already going to be St. Nicholas, and it's in the summertime. I'm already growing my white beard. And the gentleman that had been the Cooperstown Santa Claus was a retired teacher from Cooperstown, and he dropped dead. He had a bad heart, we knew that. But all of a sudden he just fell asleep. He was driving, and all of a sudden he just died. Car crashed and everything. Everybody was fine, but he died. And so the Cooperstown Community Christmas Committee had been formed way, way back when. And I had some good friends that were on that committee, and they came to me and asked if I would take over. I said, well, I first have to clear it with the Farmers Museum, because I have to go to Candlelight Evening. So I called Gwen Miner, and I said that I've been invited to be Santa Claus in town. Would the museum have any objections? She said, would you still be at Candlelight Evening? I said, yes. Well, then we had no objection at all. It could be great. Well, that was the beginning. Still doing it. That's how I got to be doing it.
What do you enjoy most about being Santa Claus?
Well, there's a certain look in the face of a child that is so hard to explain and is so genuine and so magical. When a child looks at you right in your eyes, you know, and is kind of meek, and you just know that in their minds, I am the real deal. It's so hard to explain. It's just, it's enchanting. Let's use that word. It is enchanting, you know, it really is. That's the most special thing. It's a lot of hard work. A lot of hard work. And Mary and I, we put in probably 150 or more hours being Santa and Mrs. Claus. And we travel all over. You know, we go as far away as Rome, Oneonta, Cherry Valley, Richfield Springs, and then we're in the cottage all these days. It's a lot of hard work, but it's the most wonderful thing in the world. It's just enchanting. That's all I can say about it. Yeah.
Well, how has being Santa Claus impacted your life so far? It's so enchanting. How has it impacted you all these years?
Well, I feel as though I am Santa Claus. And I'm here year-round, and that's why I wrote my book. Because sometimes the kids, and especially the parents, are puzzled when they see my beard starting to get longer, and they see me here and there. And kids would say to their mother, Mom, I thought I saw Santa Claus today. What's he doing here? He's supposed to be up in the North Pole. That's why I wrote the book. Friends call me Santa. So many. The older kids that I've seen when they were little tykes, they walk them home from school. They were, I'm outside doing the lawn or something. Hi, Santa. It's wonderful. It's just the most special thing that I do. You know, it's such an integral part of my life in Cooperstown. And living here would not be the same if I was not Santa Claus. I hope to be able to do it forever.
You mentioned your book. Tell me more about your book. What's the title?
The title is Santa's Second Home. And the premise of the book is that everyone, of course, knows that Santa Claus lives at the North Pole, because that's where the workshop is, the reindeer are, that's where all the toys are made, and that's where Mrs. Claus is to make everything special for Christmas. But there are things that have been changing at the North Pole. Global warming is here. The polar ice cap is melting. It's no longer the same place. It's kind of a dampness now with the polar ice cap melting, and Santa's arthritis is not so good. And modern technology has really changed the workshop. You know, Santa's using all that latest stuff to make toys, robots, and communication network is super fast, instantaneous. You can get the list to the North Pole and the orders placed and boxed and wrapped, with lightning speed. And Mrs. Claus has been wanting to have a little house of her own, just to spend some time away from the North Pole. She could have her own little house, and especially the garden to tend. She loves flowers, So Santa listens to this, and he wants to make Mrs. Claus happy. And he thinks, too, that with the workshop running so smoothly now, maybe it's time that he slow down a bit and maybe not spend the whole year in the North Pole. And maybe they should have a second home somewhere to take in their joy. So they agree. So they start thinking, where should it be? Where should it be? They start thinking about all the places that they have been over the many, many centuries, And suddenly it comes to mind, there's this little village. Oh, and they decide, where should it be? They decide, well, it should be in a place that's not too warm and not too cold. It should be not too big and not too small. It should have the very best Christmas spirit. And it should have children, lots and lots of children. So that's when they start thinking. They start thinking about a place where they celebrate Christmas in such a special way. And years ago, they found this place to be, a nice dry climate, not too cold in the wintertime, not too warm in the summertime, situated on a nice lake, had the best Christmas spirit, tons of children, and that they celebrate Christmas in a very special way. And they decide that, in addition to all the decorating that they would do in their town to celebrate Christmas, they thought that they should have a place for Santa to come. It wasn't fair to have all the local children have to go to a big city to see Santa Claus. And maybe if they built a nice place for him, he would come to them instead of the other way around. So they drafted plans for the Santa's cottage, and they worked out all the details, where they could put it and where it could be stored and all that sort of thing. They got the mayor to agree, and you running out? Oh, I saw you looking at that. They got the mayor to agree to have it done and place it in the village park, They'd store it south of town over the winter time, and they would invite Santa and Mrs. Claus to come, and they said they would have a big parade to welcome him, he and Mrs. Claus. And so they had the big parade down Main Street, and they ushered Santa into his new Santa's cottage, and they thought, this is them thinking them retroactively, thought, this is truly a Christmas village, isn't it? They have the most wonderful Christmas spirit, so many wonderful children. This is where we should look for our second home. So they agree. So they look and look and look. They said, well, Mrs. Claus wants a brick house. And she thought it would be nice if it looked a little bit like the cottage downtown, kind of Victorian, and lots of gingerbread and arched windows and so on. And they look and they look, and finally one day they saw an exact house for sale, just the right size. Had a nice little yard in the front, nice little yard in the back for Mrs. Claus' garden. So they move in, this is their second home. So the end of the book is really, it's been many years now since Santa and Mrs. Claus have been in their second home. And the people in the little village see them all the time. They're going to church. They are cutting the grass, raking the leaves, going to the market, you know, on the lake in the summertime. And it sort of ends with people are surprised to learn that Santa Claus really isn't fat like everybody thought he was, and that he trims his beard back really short right after Christmas, and Mrs. Claus takes the whiskers and puts them out in the backyard, and the cardinals in the spring take the whiskers and line their nests with them. And Santa and Mrs. Claus are very happy with their second home, and that they're seeing the young children growing up, instead of not just at Christmas time, but all year, see them growing up all year long, and are just delighted to see the next generation come along. That's kind of the crux of the whole book. It's a short book. It's about 50 pages, and I think 18 or 20 of them are illustrations. It's big type.
It sounds great. Santa Claus also served as a village trustee. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, the mayor had asked me if I would be willing to run for a village trustee post. And at the time, I was the chairman of the village planning board. And I've been that for 5 years, and I've been on the planning board for seven. Five of them, I was the chairman. And so I said, her name was Carol Waller. She owns the flower shop up here, Mohican Flowers. She was the mayor. And I said, well, would you rather that I ran for trustee, or would you rather continue to be chairman of the planning board? She says, I want you to run for trustee. So I did. So I said, I will. I've never run for public office before, but I'll do it, and I'll plan on winning. I'm not going to do it if I don't think I can win. And so I won fairly handily, and that was a three-year term. And about halfway through the three-year term, the deputy mayor, which is an appointed, the mayor appoints one of the trustees as the deputy mayor to serve in the mayor's absence. The deputy mayor decided to step down for health reasons. And so she asked me if I would take his place. Do you want me to take his place? Yes! Okay, that's the way it'll be. And at the end of the 3 years, I decided that I had enough of village government, and I decided not to run for a second term. But there were things that I had some great accomplishments, I believe. I was the one that pushed through getting all the loading zones mapped out and down in the village under some enormous public resentment. I was able to get the paid parking law passed. There was a lot of resentment about that. But four of the six trustees, me included, we broke with public opinion and voted for it. And got lots of nasty grants. But now everybody's happy. The loading zones are working beautifully. Paid parking is bringing in about 20% of the entire village budget comes from paid parking and parking tickets. If it weren't for that, we'd have to foot that ourselves. I cleaned up Main Street. People were selling goods out on the sidewalk on public property, t-shirts, and putting up these rickety looking tables and packed with t-shirts and all kinds of really odd merchandise. Nope, back in the stores. That wasn't very popular either among the merchants. But that was enough. I did enough. Then I became the president of Rotary, Cooperstown Rotary Club. I've been a Rotarian for a number of years, but Kathy Raddatz actually asked me to become president. No, Kathy? Yeah. She was the current president. She asked me to take over the club after her, which I did. That was a one-year term.
Well, what is life like in Cooperstown during the tourist season?
Life is good in all the seasons. It's just different. Each season is different. Summer is crazy. I'm working for the Chamber of Commerce now. This was the second year. It just ended. I work down at the information kiosk by the flagpole there, Border Main and Pioneer Street. And I help people enjoy themselves. It's great. It's kind of a lot like being in Bunk Tavern. Meet people from all over. They're just little different kinds of people. They're not museum people, mostly. You know, some of them are. But in that season, in the summertime, it's mostly about baseball. The other two museums are of great interest too. The opera is of great interest, as they are to me. But baseball is king, and it's very busy, and it's great. In the other seasons, it's different, you know, and this is a season when things are slower, but there are lots of fun things going on. You know, the holidays are coming up, the holidays we've been through, they're all fun. Spring is just great, quieter, and then there's mud season and the winter. You know, that's what you have to go through to get to spring. Life is good.
What do you enjoy most about Cooperstown now?
That's hard, really. I guess it is all the really good friends that we have. I never imagined that you could move to a, you know, I spent all that time on the lake, but never really knew very many people in town. A small town, you know, and I know lots of small towns aren't always very accepting of the newbies. I'm certainly a newbie, but I found just the opposite here. I found that, you know, just found it so welcoming, you know, from day one, you know, and just Mary and I just have so many really strong friendships. And people that are just so good-hearted and community-minded people helping each other. You know, you'd never have to worry if you had a problem. There would be 15 people you could call that would help you. It's just a really special place to be. Yeah. You know, and of course, all the other things that we have here for such a small community. I mean, think about it. 3 world-class museums. A sports center, which is, you know, wonderful. A resort. The lake. Summer opera. All the history and beautiful architecture. It's like a dream. It really is.
Well, we're nearing the end of our interview. Is there anything else you would like to say?
I think I've spoken enough already.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time out to do this interview.
You're welcome.
I had a great time listening to you, and there's just so much you had to offer. And so thank you for being able to do this.
It's easy to talk to you when you smile with that beautiful smile back at me. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.